I'm Will Cooper, and you're listening to HuntStand's Make Your Mark podcast on the Waypoint Podcast Network. Stick around as I bring you more stories and interviews from veteran hunters and industry professionals who inspire us all to be better equipped in the woods and in life.
Through the Blackwater Bayous and in the dark Louisiana night floats a duck camp, alive with the sounds of swamp pop and the smells of Cajun cooking. Mississippi Delta in Venice to the Cajun prairies of the Southwest. Me and the Duck Camp Dinners crew will be hunting and eating it all.
This is Duck Camp Dinner.
Join me, Chef Jean-Paul Bourgeois, and the whole crew every Monday at 8 p.m. Eastern on Waypoint TV.
Damn these Biloxi blues, it happens every night. And I ain't never met a riverboat dealer that could ever be a friend of mine.
I have not.
The summer heat never treats me kind, it leaves trouble on my mind. So I'm bidding farewell, putting in my notice, and I'll see you at another time. This highway does not know my name, and I don't care.
No,
I don't care.
Headed my way
for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare.
Right to the dadgum hook right here.
Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.
Low budget, live, not so live, you bunch of low life and son of a guns. This is the podcast for March the 21st, 2022. We almost just clicking away another month. We headed there. We headed into April. Guns blazing. Hopefully we get over all these blackberry winters, molasses winters, cherry winters, strawberry winters. I got all these winters in Tennessee. And it really is just winter. Spring don't ever get here to like May anymore. It's snow in April. I do all kind of stuff. I've turkey hunted in the snow in Tennessee, but we got a little glimpse of warm weather, and then boom, cold again, and snow again, and then I don't know, man. Tennessee weather drives me crazy, but fish are biting. Life is good. Hope all you lowlifers are doing well out there. If you're just joining this show for the first time, you're like, this guy is insulting me by calling me a lowlifer. No, it's a term of endearment. That's what the listeners of this program refer to themselves as. So welcome, lowlifers, old and new, to the program. Recording this a few days early from old March 21st. Just being honest with y'all. Y'all know how I do. I got a lot going on all the time. But recording early and grateful for the guests we're going to get to talk to today. But the reason I'm recording this early is because me and the boys are loading up that Express and we are going to Gros Savoie for the weekend and might not even be back till maybe Monday morning. We're going to be doing some Louisiana catting around fishing down there. We're going to go to Gros Savoie. We may be stopping at another lake. Not sure yet. Follow along on Instagram. I'm sure there'll be plenty of posts about what's going on. But record this early. Make sure we got a podcast knocked out for all you lowlifers. And this is a guy we're going to talk to today that I'm really looking forward to having on. And for many reasons. But got to say a few thank yous right out of the gate. First of all, we are, at the time you guys are listening to this, we're out of hats. We are out of low budget live and traveling circus hats. And I thank each and every one of you. They went very fast, the ones I had left. I got a little makeshift website built this week, and then boom, they're gone. Just like that. So y'all should have seen me. I was taking boxes into the post office. They rolled me out a cart, man. I felt big for a little bit. They were like, what are you selling? What is this? And I'm like, lowlifer apparel. Lady, get your life right if you don't know what that is. And she didn't care. But anyways, rolled up in the post office with a cart full of hat boxes. So they're shipping, and you should be getting those very soon. I appreciate the support. More hats are being made right now. I had the patches separate than the hats. They have to be put together. And Sarah at New Threads up in Ohio, big thanks to them. They're putting the hats together for me. And she has more patches on her way. And we sold every hat, every one that we had. So thank you very much for that. Have to say a huge thank you to the sponsors as well. Folks like StarTron supporting the show for going on 5 years now and kicking ethanol in the freaking teeth in your weed eater, in your chainsaw, but more importantly, in that outboard engine, because nothing ruins a great day on the water like an outboard engine that won't run because of stupid ethanol. Gas prices are through the roof. If I see another gas pump Instagram story post, I'm going to lose my mind. We get it. It's high, but you don't want to be buying that ethanol-free fuel. That's dumb. It's dumb. It's already too daggum expensive. Regular old gal, regular. So drop you some StarTron in your tank. Kick ethanol in the teeth. It'll gum up the works. Ethanol's bad. Corn's great. I love corn. I eat corn on the cob. I like cream corn. I like to put corn on a grill, but I don't like it in my gas. Kick it in the teeth with ethanol. Kicking in the I messed it up. Kicking in the teeth of StarTron. That was almost my best promo ever. Shout out Corey at Starbright. He's gonna grade that one. Get the ethanol out of there. Baitworks.com, new to the show, but man, so awesome to partner with people. I made an Instagram story about that this week. I keep hearing about this fast service, fast shipping, great customer service from these folks, from all you low lifers. I'm seeing the orders. Y'all using code Duncan-10 at bait-works.com. A lot of dashes, but they got the stuff. They're getting it to you in this world where it's so hard to find things. If they got it, they're shipping it to you the second you place that order, it feels like. I made an order, just got it in before I went to Gros Savon. And like I said last week, and I said it on Instagram, if you don't want it, you better not hit order because it's coming to your house. I said, if you're trying to hide stuff from your wife, like if you're trying to be like, you know, I don't know. Need her knowing that all these jackhammers are showing up again this week, which was what it was in my case, and a bunch of Bradley Hallman flipping baits. Don't hit order. Like, if you plan on it coming in when she's out of town or something, don't do it. So, baitworks.com, great tackle company. They've got everything you need there. If they ain't got it, they got it on the way, and they will get it to you. Baitworks.com. Use that code Duncan-10 to show you are a lowlifer, and I'm seeing it, and I appreciate each and every freaking one of you. And last but not least, hang this back. Let's see. Let's get a good look at the banner. Ah, Express Boats, Hot Springs, Arkansas, building excitement since 1966. And now they the classic champion, Express Boats. Jason Christie winning the classic, first ever in aluminum boat. The original all-welded aluminum boat right there. Express Boats got the C-deck option for you. That's amazing. Plenty of tackle storage. Runs like a champ. Got plenty of gas for you. Hang that 250 Yamaha on the back of it, and it is a beast. If you haven't ridden in one, you need to. If you don't want to, shame on you. You should change your mind. Express Boats, we appreciate all the support for Low Budget Live and the Traveling Circus, and I am fitting to be standing on that C-deck barefooted, yanking on some Louisiana bass with them Duncan boys in a few hours, to be honest, whenever I get the heck out of here and get down to Gros Savon. So appreciate all the sponsors of the show. Working on a lot of things with some other companies. We got a couple that's going to come back. One in particular that we're going to make happen here very soon. So appreciate each and every one of y'all supporting those people that support the show, man. I always say support the people that support the industry. All those people do. If you're going to Red Crest this week, because that's coming up this week, see a lot of folks saying they're going. If you're going, StarTron's going to have a booth. Baitworks, a big tackle booth there. I don't know that Duncan 10 will work there. You're going to have Garmin there. TH Marine's going to be there. So many people going to be there. That I'm associated with. Unfortunately, I'm going to be practicing for the Bassmaster Open as that event's going on over there at Cherokee. Going to go over there and try to find them winning smallies at Cherokee or largemouth or whatever wants to bite my cricket. So I won't be at Red Crest. But go tell the fine sponsors of this show that you listen to it if you happen to be at the Red Crest in Tulsa, Oklahoma. All right, that is this week. That's this week. And I talked about a couple episodes ago. Going to be interesting. Like I said, a lot of vendors going. They're pumping it. A lot of anglers. I mean, obviously, not going to be as big as a classic, man. Like, you just can't expect it to be a classic. But I'm anxious to see the turnout 3 days there to see what happens there at the Red Crest and how it's even set up. I think that's interesting because, like I mentioned earlier, if you missed that episode, talking about not having a weigh-in, you know, not having, you know, who wins before they get there. And I don't know. It's an interesting scenario for a live fishing tournament and an event. And it is the first that they are trying in a convention center type setup thing. And the first one they had was not that great. And then they've pushed it off, switched it around, and now they're going to have it. So Red Crest will be interesting, followed by the Bass Pro Shops Worldwide World Fishing Expo extravaganza thing. Let me text our guest real quick. So it's like the next week. And I've seen a lot of guys promoting it. And it's weird for me, I think, that Bass Pro Shops is, you know, they're running tournaments now. Obviously, they got the Johnny Moore Super Mega Cup, $1 million. And they're controlling all of it. Like, they are the cartel in the fishing world. They grow it, they make it, they smuggle it in, they sell it to you, they get you hooked on it, and then they got the rehab centers. Like, it's a trip, and I think that's been the goal. I mean, obviously, with purchases like buying Ranger and buying Triton and a lot of the moves they've made and buying Cabela's, like, they own so much of the industry. Then they started having tournaments last year. And I don't guess I've seen any announcement for this year's events. I'm not sure when those take place, or if they're having it again. I'm sure they are. But now they're having this worldwide expo, and it's weird. It's weird for me. It's weird that it is right on the heels of the Classic and Red Crest. It is, and it's competition. It is competing with the vendor's time, the fan's time. But the interesting thing about it is they're charging like $20 or something per head to get in to this thing. Of course, for conservation. Definitely just for conservation. But I think it's a weird move. And I think it's very telling. And I said this whenever they came out with their tournament series, the Johnny Morris Super Worldwide Sportsman Johnny Morris Championship, that I think that it's very telling the direction that company's headed. And I think, you know, this year we've already seen Bass Pro Shops. It's not the BassProShops.com Bassmaster Opens anymore. They're gone, where they had to always have a weigh-in at a Bass Pro Shops. It's the St. Croix Bassmaster Opens now. You see them stepping back in a lot of things. And I think that it's just because they just want to do their own thing, obviously. And I think that means more money in their pocket ultimately, which is always the goal. And they don't make bad business moves very often. That's why they buy, you know, they own 70% of the bass fishing world. I think, crazy talk, in my opinion, I think not only this amateur thing that they've got going, I would not be surprised if you saw Bass Pro Shops go further into the tournament world. Just my opinion. And by that being regional, being semi-professional, professional, it would not surprise me. It would, or see them make a play to buy something at some point. There was rumblings of that a few years ago, but it would not surprise me for them to just double down on owning every single bit of it. And you're going to buy their boat, and you got to have their boat to fish their tournament. So that makes you go out and buy, because, man, you can't win $1 million if you ain't in the Tracker, or if you ain't in the Nitro, the Ranger, or the Triton. So I think there's a real possibility of that, man, to see that further evolve. And you're talking about a company that spends millions and millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars with NASCAR. I mean, hell, they sponsor Dude Perfect on YouTube. millions of dollars to those guys to wear a freaking mesh hat, right? So definitely deep, deep pockets there. And I think that it's an interesting play because they've always supported the industry tenfold, whether it's sponsoring anglers like the Van Dams of the world and the Rick Kluns. I don't think that's going to stop by any means. But, I mean, they gutted the Ranger pro staff. Gutted it. Very few guys. Gutted the Triton pro staff. Very few guys on the Triton pro staff nationally now. Gutted it. So it's very interesting moves going on there. And I honestly didn't bring it up when I was talking about the Red Crest Bass Pro Shops. Red Crest Bassmaster Classic comparison a couple episodes ago because I didn't even know it was going on. And now my social media feed is just worldwide expo. Beep, 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 beep. Hang on. What am I doing? Expo. There we go. Johnny Morris. Ladies and gentlemen, Johnny Morris. He'll probably come out like wearing a black suit and sunglasses. Welcome to my expo. I don't know. I don't know how it's going to go, but something like that. I can't believe I was doing freaking mouth sound effects. Who's got time for mouth sound effects now? I'm tired, man. What can I say? But I think it's interesting. I don't know. I've talked to a lot of people that are going to that as well. So busy month of March in the fishing industry, to say the least. It's like, if you still got some money left in your pocket between gas and buying tackle at the Classic and Red Crest, come on down to Johnny's house. I mean, do they not look at a calendar? I don't know. Whatever. I'm sure it'll be packed out. Packed out. People love to go look at the fish in the aquarium and buy fudge and walk around and there'll be a lot of pros. I think all the pros are going and there's going to be booths there, and you know, they hit up their vendors that sell to them for sure for booth space and things. And it's interesting. It's going to be interesting to see how it all plays out, man. I don't know. It's just getting crowded. Month of March, just mark it off. 3 out of 4 weeks a year now from now on, just mark it off. Oh me. All right. I'm going to get into our guest right here. So, been knowing this guy a minute. Been knowing this guy a freaking minute. And I'll tell you how and how long in just a second, because he is currently at Santee Cooper. The Elite Series has not started. And he is killing it this year. He's a guy I talked about just a couple episodes ago, just finished up in the top five of the Classic there, third place. He's in his fifth year on the Elite Series. The last time they were out there in South Carolina, he freaking won there on the, whatever rivers they fished, Bay, Winya Bay, whatever it was. I can't remember. It's like the Cooper River and something. But he won out there. He's got five wins in the FLW side of things. MLFLW won almost $1 million there. He is a $1 million champ in the sport of bass fishing. I think he's one of the most underrated, under-discussed guys in the sport. He's taking time out of his off day to talk to us. Ladies and freaking gentlemen, let's get him on the phone right now. Stetson Blaylock.
Hello.
Man, it rang a couple times. I'm going to be honest, for all the lowlifers out there, Stetson, I was like, he may not pick up. I was like, I just gave this big intro and I was like, dude, he's going to send me to voicemail.
It's tempting.
Probably, ain't it, buddy?
Can be from time to time.
How much has that phone rang since the Classic?
It's more than it's not. Put it that way.
Steady.
Yeah, it's been steady.
Do you get tired of people saying, oh, "Man, I hate it"? You're like, not as much as me.
I really didn't think I was going to get that as much as I have. You know, yeah. Honestly, and I think it's because I don't feel that way. I know I want to win, but I know how the game goes. And when it's your time and you can't change it or mess it up. So I'm very, very good at, I feel like, looking past, you know, close calls like that, just because there's there's one or two fish in every tournament that could have went the other way, mm-hmm. and you're way down the list. So I try not to look at how close I was as much as I can.
Yeah, I get that. And I think you're a guy, even though you're young, you're younger than me. So I say you're young, and I'm not 40 yet. So I still think we're young, Stetson. Tell Lindsay I said that. We're still young, dang it.
Yeah.
Don't think we're old.
Yeah, absolutely.
Lindsay, we're young.
Yeah.
And sure, I did meet you when we were babies. I texted you that yesterday. We were both young, but I think that, man, you've got, I was looking at this, you fished 11 freaking Forest Wood Cups. Like, I don't think I realized how many big marquee championships. And I knew you were an automatic lock when I was fishing the tour. Like, you were just going to make the championship, I felt like, every year. And now it's the same with the Classic, it seems. And you've had two top fives in the Classic. So, and I said it two episodes ago, your time is right there. Like, it's coming. But, dude, I don't think I realized that. Like, you are a championship-making son of a gun. Is that? I mean, you're so consistent.
Well, it's very odd to talk about this in the sense of I don't like to complain, and I don't like to be the guy that when you hear, you know, an interview just like this, I'm never going to be that guy that says, man, I got so many second places. I've been so close. It's just, you know, I'm not going to be that guy. I refuse to be that guy. But I will say that the consistency has been something that I've kind of hung my hat on. Mm-hmm. Not necessarily, you know, I always want to win every tournament, mm-hmm. but I do not have that win or go home attitude. Mm-hmm. I've never had that. And there's times in these tournaments where, whether it be a Forestwood Cup, a regular tour event, an Elite Series event, or the Bassmaster Classic, where I go, okay, I don't know if I'm on the winning deal, so what can I do to represent, to mm-hmm. be there at the end with a shot? And no matter what, you know, how guys look at it, everybody's got their own opinions and the way they approach tournament fishing. But for me, I feel very comfortable with the fact that you're not going to win every time. And if you can just be there, just be consistent, just be in the top. And, you know, I always say, make the money, you know, get to the money. Mm-hmm. And then once you get to the money, then you can change your approach a little bit and try to go further in the tournament. But, you know, there's times, and I'm not going to lie, the Classic at Gunnersville and this last Classic last week were two tournaments that I actually said, you know, if they bite for 3 days, I might can have a shot to win.
Got
this
a chance.
Thing.
Yeah.
And I'm never that way. I never feel that way, hardly ever. But those two tournaments are ones that I did feel that way. And, you know, it just, when you're fishing good and you're confident and you're making decisions and they're making good decisions, you know, things like that can happen.
For the folks at home, what, because you are not that guy, like you said, I think so many of us are not that, hey, I think I'm on the win and fish. We tend to be even negative, right? Like, everybody kind of poor mouths coming out of practice, this or that, because things do change. They change by the hour. But when you when you say that, though, you say, man, I at Gunnersville and at Hartwell, I felt like if they bit, I had it. What is that you see? Is it a group of fish? Is it a solid pattern? What makes Stetson Blaylock think this week's going to be a little different in that situation?
It's a pattern, no
okay.
doubt. And,
okay.
And the deal, and it always evolves and changes as you go.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said, I'm never the guy that's going into the tournament going, boy, I got this one figured out,
right.
I feel like. And I know guys do that. But I also know those exact same guys finish third from the bottom.
Yeah, a lot of times, yes.
You know, and on tournaments where they really feel like they're fixing to blast them.
Yep.
And I just approach it differently, is to where I want to have an idea, but I want to let it happen as the day goes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what's happened in the first two elite events of this season. And by golly, I'm not going to lie, I know we're at Santee Cooper, but I hope it does it again here, because I have not had a good practice. And I feel like that – the approach that I've taken to those classics that I felt good in, it wasn't a, I've got three areas where I think I can catch them. It was a, this particular bait or this particular two or three baits in this particular, whatever, looking water, this type of looking water, or this bay, that bay and that bay look a lot alike. I got a couple bites in there. I really think if I can make these work, the potential's there to do well. Uh-huh. And I tell you though, what's very strange about that is I find myself every single, those two classics, I have found myself with one day that was not bad, but not the winning day. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yeah, of course.
You know, you hear guys say, well, you can't win it on the first day, but you can lose it. But you can also go out on day two and just throw up a mediocre, well, I survived.
Yes.
And then you lose by a pound and you go, holy crap, if I would have did one thing different on day two, I win this tournament. Mm-hmm. And I look back at those and go, you know, like I said, I'm not the guy that dwells on it, but I look back and go, man, I didn't not try, but I only needed one more thing to go right on whatever day, one, two, whatever it is, you know, and would be standing there holding trophies. And that seems to be the path that I take quite often.
Yeah, man, I think you come from that, and I feel like fishing FLW, especially that Andy Morgan school, you know, you were toe-to-toe with him on Angler of the Year in like 13. I think that consistent thing, I always looked at your career just with jealousy, honestly, just like, dude, you just fell out of the bed and you're like 12, 14, 15, 16, 17 pounds. Like, you're just that guy. Of course, you've had wins. You had wins in the Elite and the FLW. You got five wins over on the FLW side of things and different various, you know, they're different deals. Yep. You won what at 16 years old, right? Co-angler side.
I can't remember. I'd have to go back and look, but I know I won a BFL super tournament, 2-day tournament as a boater at 17.
Okay.
And then had a couple wins on FLW, and the series, won a couple series, FLW series events as a co-angler. And then two tour events, I think as a, maybe one, two, something like that. And then went pro and won my third tournament. You know, it's hard to sit there and go, well, dang, this is easy.
Yeah.
Because it's not, you know, and I'm going to even throw names out there. There's guys like Jordan Lee.
Yes.
There's guys who's another one? Oh, from Wheeler, that I know those guys. I've fished around those guys with those guys in the boat with those guys, and they have something different than I have. And when you look at me and say, man, you just wake up and get out of bed with 12, 13, 14 pounds, I don't see that because I see what everybody else don't see, which is the struggle of
you're like praying for a bite.
Yeah, I'm at Sandy Cooper in the middle of March and I've had, you know, a handful of bites the whole time I've been here. And I'm like, okay, I just proved to the world that I'm consistent at being one of the best in the biggest stage there is. But here I am again, scratching my head going, do I even have a clue what I'm doing?
Why am I here?
Yes. And I think that's what's so cool about our sport. And that there's some guys like, and Van Damme was that guy, you know, a few years back He just every day you knew he was going to be in the top 10. And before it was over, he was going to be standing there at least knocking on the door or standing there holding a trophy. And, you know, I think you have those stretches in your career where that just happens and you feel good about things that you're doing and you make good decisions. And people have asked me a lot more in the last 2 years, especially, you know, because I had my first 2 years on the elites. If you go back and look, they were horrendous. I did not do well. And it's crazy because I just come off some of my best years on FLW Tour and some of my best years on the Bass Opens, like barely missing qualifying 2 or 3 years in a row.
Mm-hmm.
And like just having really good tournaments and seasons and then come over here and just fall flat on my face for 2 years and then finally pick things up and got a win and some, you know, started piling on some top 10s the last couple of years. And I really don't know what changed. I don't know, but people have asked me like, man, what in the world? You're fishing as good as you ever have. And I look back and I'm like, no, I really ain't fishing that good. I did that like 10 years ago when I was on FLW. Mm-hmm. I think I was fishing the best I ever have, because I think I was having practices where I may not have known as much as I do now, as far as how to catch fish, the techniques, just different things. But I felt like I had better practices where I was more consistent going into an event saying, I think I can do okay. But that has not been the case the last few years. But I'm not going to complain, because tournaments have seemed to work out, and it's not always going to work out. And we all know that. Every angler that fishes for a bass in this country knows, and in this world, they know that there's days you're going to go out there and just go, what in the world is happening?
I'm lost. Like, what? Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yes. Especially on a place like Santee Cooper, right? Like, that's easy to do there.
So let's talk about this place. So you know, I think another question that everybody's, and not a question, it's just a statement that I hear year after year is, man, South Carolina is good to you. That place has been, and it, like,
the Carolinas,
I'm not going to lie. That, I mean, Norman, Hartwell, Winyah Bay.
Winyah, yeah.
There's just several places over here that I have done well. And then Murray. There's this lake called Santee Cooper. And to be honest, I love it. I love the way it looks. I love the way it fishes. I love it kind of fishes like two or three lakes at home combined. Uh-huh. So I understand it, but there's something here that has not up until this point clicked with me on tournament days. I don't know if it's, you can't just take off and run across the lake, and it gets in my head that if I'm going to go do this, I have to run all the way down here and then shoot across and then go up and then zig, you know. That may be what it is. I don't know. I think you know me well enough to know that I like to be able to go from here to there, fish an hour or two, here to there, fish an hour or two. There's different styles and approaches to this game that guys are good at. And for some reason, Santee Cooper does not like me. I don't know what it is.
Well, hopefully when everybody's listening to this on Monday, I told them I'm recording a little early, so I got to go out of town. Sure. Hopefully you've hoisted a trophy and they're all calling you a liar right now. I hope so. I hope they're like, that Stetson so Blaylock is such a liar. He was on 100 pounds and he didn't freaking tell Luke. He lied to Luke. Listen, I gotta tell a quick story, and it's one that I bring up around you all the time just because it's so funny to me now, because you've just been so dang successful and you were successful back then. But I think I ruined Santee Cooper for you, because I take full credit for your hatred of that body of water, because Stetson and I was fishing an Everstart way back when. I was like 19 or 20 years old. I draw this kid that I remember reading about winning a BFL as a co-angler or something like the week before. And I think it was your grandmother drove you to Santee Cooper. You got there and you had the unfortunate luck of drawing me. And it had been 80 degrees every day in practice. And then this massive cold front comes through, you know, and you remember that morning, it was rough. And that's something that when you're talking about, man, you got to go here to go there because of the boat lanes and all that, dude.
Yep.
That was one of the worst boat rides I've ever been on that morning. It was coming they were coming over the front, splashing on us. We were crossing a lake there. Now I remember telling you, man, I got this pond that I found some on the bed. I'm going to go in there. And there were like 19 boats in there. Do you remember that?
Yep, I do.
I idled all the way back through this little ditch, and we open up, and I'm like, oh, this is where everybody's at. Okay, good. I'm glad we just ran across 6-footers for that. This is great. Yep. And then I weighed one, and I can't remember if you caught one or not, but I just know that I did not. I remember zeroing the second day of that event, and I just remember as I hear you talk about Santee Cooper not clicking with you, I take full credit. So I hope you can turn it around. That's the only time I've ever been there, and I'll just be honest with you. I see pictures. I've seen the shows. I've watched the beatdowns that have taken. I hate that place. I hope I never have to go back there.
Well,
it's intimidating, man. It's intimidating.
It is. And I've fished some of the biggest bodies of water in the country, and this place just has something different. It has a different vibe to it that if you don't just get it, then you can really drag up the rear on this
yes.
one. And, you know, the only thing that I'm holding my head on right now and my confidence in is that it is mid-March. They it's springtime. They want to be where I like them. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot of success in March and April, and that's it. I mean, people can call me a liar if they want to. This has been one of
I hope they get to. You hope they get to.
Yeah, absolutely. But this has been one of the toughest practices for me this time of year that I've had. I mean, I've had tougher practices, but not in that prime time of the year when things should be happening. And hopefully that it'll turn into something over the next 4 days, and we can make a good tournament out of it.
Did you guys, I mean, I know you had terrible weather the first couple of days of practice. I've been keeping up and seeing the post. Did that devastate the water temperature down there? I mean, did they have a big crash? Because I know they had some pretty weather leading up to you guys getting there.
Well, it's funny because this lake is not that far east. I mean, north and south from Arkansas. Mm-hmm. And Arkansas has been cold.
Yes.
And the trees aren't even trying to bud.
Yes.
You come over here and I'm looking right now, it's kind of rained a little bit today, and there's pollen puddles, mm-hmm. you know? So to me, the trees are already got leaves on them. You know, everything's already alive here. Mm-hmm. So I personally think that when you have 23, 30 degree nights, the fish that are there go, oh heck, mm-hmm. I don't know what's happening, but maybe I wasn't supposed to be here yet. I don't know. I just think that, you know, you hear people say, well, once they're committed, they don't back off. Well, I don't necessarily know if that's true. And especially when you're talking about a lake like this that has a mind of its own every time I've been here. So
that's a fact, man. It really does. And I think for people, it's like telling you to go to Okeechobee and fish grass or Gunnersville. Yeah. Hey, man, they catch them in the grass. Like, there's so many yep. freaking trees and there's stumps. And it is just it's a maze of just
right. Everything
looks freaking good. And man, you're right. Lakes like that, and I think Gunnersville's a prime example of this too. Like you said, you can drag up the rear end in those standings real fast if you're off an inch.
Yep.
Yeah. They're very
you don't
scary
have to be
places.
Off very far.
No.
Yep.
And if you're on it, you're dead on it. 25 freaking pounds, you look like a guru.
Yep.
But man, if you
yep.
miss it, you'll
that's
think,
right.
well, this lake don't have any bass in. This lake sucks. And I guess that's the way it is for a lot of bodies of water, but very, very interesting, man. Fishery, and everybody, like I said, when this comes out, they're gonna have seen how it played out. But hopefully, you can pull it out. So I want yep. to ask you a couple really, really just quick questions. Sponsor wise, mm-hmm. I see you make some changes. You're a business savvy dude, but running a BassCat and in the BassCat and there with Academy. And I get you had been a Nitro guy for a while. I guess all that just kind of goes together, right? I was talking about this before I had you on, and I know that with them owning competitors, that's got to be a tough situation, I guess.
Well, and let me start by saying this. This whole game evolves around decisions that we make
yes.
on the water and off the water. And I'll put it this way. There's times where I've made decisions and I look back and say, boy, I don't know if I made the right decision
mm-hmm.
there. And I mean, in this industry, there's times where you're faced with, I got to do something.
Yes.
And I wasn't put in that position. And I want to make that very clear.
Absolutely.
I have been with Academy, I guess, 3 years now.
Yeah.
And I see a really bright future there, and I'm going to be with
company.
Them for several more years to come. And they support the Bassmaster Classic.
Mm-hmm.
They really do a lot for bass and for us anglers out here with their, you know,
which
their,
is huge.
Yes, it's huge to be part of the Classic and all that. And for me, it's one of those things where I'm not going to leave a company like that just because I feel like I need to.
Yep.
And for me, man, I got nothing but good things to say about the people at White River and Nitro and Bass Pro and all those people. But for me, it was about comfort. Academy stayed with me. They made me a good offer moving forward for the next few years. And for me, I just wanted to align with a boat company that wasn't tied to a retailer.
Yeah.
So big deal. It wasn't that I was necessarily forced to do it. And that needs to be very clear.
Yes, for sure.
But I wanted to just be with a company that wasn't tied to a retailer. So no matter what direction I go, if I do my job for Bass Cat, then I'm going to have a place there. And we, everybody in this industry knows Mr. Rick and
absolutely. That's where I was going with
what
this.
Kind of guy he is. And he was very, 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 what's the word? He wanted me with him, and there wasn't a place for me. And that's saying something when you can just tell that they really don't have room for another guy, but they make room for you. And you know, in your heart that they're telling the truth, like, guys, our team's full, but we really would like to have you, kind of deal. Mm-hmm. And, I feel fortunate to have had the opportunities with all the companies that I've worked with, but just aligning with Academy Sports and Outdoors and Magellan, their apparel line. And of course, I've been with Realtree.
I was going to say, you're fishing their rods too, right?
Yes, H2O Express rods and reels, and getting to kind of help design rods and have a part in that. It's pretty special, and not very many guys get the opportunity like this in their entire career. Mm-hmm. And it's been good. It's been fun. I'm very happy to have the partners that I have and see them stick with me and have those tough conversations and be able to know that what they're telling you is the truth and that you can count on it and that you get what you get and here it is. And that's what we need in this sport. As anglers, you know yourself how hard a struggle that it can be do this and to maintain the sponsorship help to continue to do it. And even when you make money out here, it costs so much, and we all know what the gas prices are doing right now and things like that. So it's very, very important to have these partners that we can depend on, that we know we can't, you can't sit around on your hands all day. You got to work for them. But
yes, more so now than ever before, for sure, too.
Yes. Yes. And there, we and this is a whole nother topic for a whole nother day, but there's a lot of trails now, good trails. And I'm not talking about just the three major trails. No. I'm talking about other trails. Yeah. And they're all, you being tied to T&H, y'all know that it's not easy to pick and choose and know where to put your money. No. And I know, I mean, it's crazy to say this, but this is 14 years for me of fishing as a pro. And that's not counting my co-angler years. Mm-hmm. So I've been there. I've done it. I've seen it. Am I the best? Not a chance. I struggle in areas just like everybody else. But, as long as we can keep those companies and keep them happy and do our job and have a place to fish, and you got to keep qualifying. I mean, everybody knows that staying on this Elite Series is not an easy task.
Getting harder all the time.
There's been a lot of guys. Yeah. There's been a lot of great fishermen however you want to say it, get booted out, get kicked out, whatever, however you want to word that. It just comes down to you have to catch them and catch them and catch them. And if you ever slack up, your day's coming.
They're
going to
let you know.
Be there.
They're going to let you know real fast. I think that's very, I think people, they don't realize that, you know what I mean? They don't realize how tough it is. And if you stumble just a little bit, and that goes for any trail, but you stumble just a little bit, they're going to step on your heads. And now with the qualifications that you guys are doing, man, it's, they cut 20 something guys last year just out, and hey, it's really how it should be, right? I mean, it should be. You got to perform.
Yeah,
it's the top level of the sport.
Sure, yeah, and you don't want to be looked at as the organization that they're not the best. I mean, we want to be the best, and we want to fish against the best. And me personally, when I lose, I want to lose to the best. And when I win, I want to beat the best that can, that I can compete against.
No doubt.
the Elite Series is doing that once again. And in my opinion, this is probably one of the toughest years that I've ever fished. And to be sitting in a good spot after the first couple events good event at the Classic, I feel good about it. But, man, you know this as well as anybody. There's still a lot of fishing left and a long ways to go.
No doubt about it, buddy. If anybody's going to run at that angler of the year this year, I feel like it's you, man. I got this feeling. I told them two episodes ago, I said, I feel like not enough people are talking about Stetson. I'm telling you. Well, I feel like they got to get on the Stetson bandwagon, man. I've been proud to know you for many years. That's why I text you after the Classic, man. I'm certainly proud to know you and your great family. I've got a lot of great memories from FLW running around and seeing Kai Man out there fishing for dinosaurs in the tank. And I see Lindsay's post all the time, and I'm like, we're getting old. We're getting so old, man.
Yeah, he'll be 10 this year.
Golly, dude. So my rider is about to be 12, and I just don't even make that connect. I just see Kai being this little bitty fella running around, man. Mm-hmm. And golly. Yep. All right. That's makes me feel even worse. So thanks, Stetson.
Time's flying
it
by.
It does, buddy. It does. But dude, I appreciate you taking time out of your day, the off day, to do this. And it's always great catching up. And I wish you luck at Santee Cooper, buddy. Hopefully Monday everybody will call you a liar.
I hope so too. And if that happens, I got to get back on here and set the record straight.
Yes, for sure.
We'll talk about what actually took place and how I ended up getting from point A to point B.
We'll have double Stetsons, back-to-back Stetson weeks. I'm good with it.
Absolutely.
With it, buddy. All right, buddy. Good luck to you, and I appreciate you.
Not a problem. Thanks,
Stetson. All right, Stetson Blaylock right there. Such a solid human being, man. Great dude. Hard worker in this industry and certainly out there making waves. Wanted to ask him that about the, you know, his sponsor stuff. Didn't want to put him in a weird spot at all there. Certainly wasn't trying to do that, but he was Nitro for a long time and an Academy Wrap Nitro. And, you know, just for him, that probably didn't make sense, you know, didn't align. And, I'm proud of companies like Academy. I see what they do for like Jacob Wheeler, my buddy, Justin Martin there, Stetson. He's hooked up with Realtree as well, doing big things, man. I'm really proud. And like I said, met him. We spent a day in the boat together. It's been many moons ago, but been knowing that kid a long time, and I'm very proud to know him. So thanks to Stetson for coming on. Thanks to each and every one of you for watching this insanity every week. I appreciate you. More hats coming soon. Boats and Pros had a Boats and Pros call today. Getting that back going, and something new that we're working on. Me and old Tanner Lyons got something for next year. Let's put it that way. Something I'm very excited about that I will talk about hopefully sooner than later. All right. I'm going to take you out with a little bit of Biloxi Blues. Like always, make sure that you hug your mama, and I will see y'all next week.
From Jackson Town to Tupelo,
sweet.
I never could make it last. Spanish moss, a Civil War ghost. Well, I'm gonna leave them in the past. Any direction, Lord, I'll be fine. It don't matter, east or west, north, south, wherever the wind blows, I'm leaving those burdens at rest. This highway, it does not know my name. I don't care, no, I don't care. Heading my way for another place, and I got three good tires and a spare. Just a white line gypsy getting out of Mississippi with just enough gas to get there.